When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the movie podcast review of Madam Web. My name is Daniel. I'm one of your hosts today. And joining alongside me, tangled in my web, are my fellow webheads. It's Shabazz.
Hello, Daniel. How are you today? I can't see. I'm as blind as Madam Web.
Goodness gracious.
I'm also climbing the wall. I don't know if you can see this on YouTube, but I am climbing the wall.
I don't know why it sounds like you're doing a Michael Scott impression.
I hear it
when Pam and Jim come back. It's like the tone in your voice is doing that.
I was doing a Madam Web impression though when she's Madam Web.
Oh, that's true. That's very accurate. And of course, also joining us within the web, it is Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hello. I'm tangled in the web. Please get me out of here. Yeah, that's me.
You don't really sound like you want to be saved. You're like, I am tangled in here.
I'm tangled in this web, guys. Please kill me. No, that's what this movie did. No. I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
I'm so glad to hear it. Of course, today we are talking all about Madam Web, which is the latest entry into the Sony Spider-Man universe, the SSU, if you will. We've had a bit of a break from these films. You know, we were supposed to get Kraven last year, but it's wild to think. I feel like we've had more than these. Maybe I'm just lumping in the Amazing Spider-Man films into this too, which they're definitely not part of this universe. But we've had Venom. We had Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And of course, we had everyone's favorite, Morbius. Now, we've had three in the last 6 years. And guess what? Sony's like, we're going to double down on this. We're going to give you three alone in 2024. So, of course, this is the first one this year. First up is Madam Web. Later on this year, we're going to get Kraven the Hunter. And then we're going to end the year off with Venom 3. And of course, we will have our reviews for all of those movies and more, because this is the movie podcast. You can catch brand new episodes all throughout the week with new interviews, reviews, and discussions and all the latest movies and series. We have such a great time doing what we're doing, and we'd love if you stick around. Consider subscribing. Leave us 5 stars wherever you're listening to us. And if you have an extra couple bucks to toss our way, we have a Patreon where you could help us keep the lights and the mics on. That goes such a long way in supporting our show. And if you're able to do it, we'd be so grateful, because we absolutely adore making this show for you. Today's episode is going to be a fun one. We're so excited to talk about Madam Web. We're not going to get into the nitty-gritty spoilers of the film, but we will be discussing some plot points. So if you want to go in without knowing anything, even like the connections, if this is connected to Spider-Man, well, don't listen any further. We're not going to spoil that for you here. But we will be talking about the plot points of this film.
It's like half spoiler.
It's half spoilers. You know, there's no big reveals. There's not even after credits or mid credits for this film. So nothing to even talk about there. But really quickly, before we dive into our review and into our first thoughts, I also just want to say, if you want to talk about this movie, make sure you join our Discord. Write in the comments below if you're listening to this on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, leave us a review on Spotify. You can engage with our poll. You can leave us a comment on the specific episode. So there's lots of ways to support us there. And of course, follow us on our socials at The Movie Podcast, on Instagram, on X, on TikTok, on Letterboxd. Everything you need to know is in the show notes below. Now, Madam Web is in theaters on February 14th. I want to say a huge thank you to our friends at Sony Pictures for inviting us to watch the film and to participate in an interview. We will have an interview with the producer of this film out later this week on the show, so stay tuned for that, and we could dive into a lot more of the film, a lot more spoilers. So we'll have that to release later this week, so stay tuned for that. Now, without further ado, Madam Web Let's get to our first reactions. We know Dakota Johnson is starring in this. Shay, give us your thoughts going into this film and give us your somehow assembled thoughts upon leaving it. The floor is yours.
I don't know where to start. There's a lot about this movie that I really want to talk about. I'm actually so excited to talk about this movie because...
Me too.
Not too long ago, if you were for a fan of the show, you'll know that I was really, really sick. I had the flu. I was out for like a week solid. This movie, watching it, I felt like I was back to that fever that I was in because, my God, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I had so much fun watching this movie, and I think it wasn't the intention of what this movie was trying to do for me, but it was such an interesting time. I've never seen an origin story movie about the origin of the origin story. Like, this movie is so pre-origin that it had me confused. I was like, wait, we're not even talking about, and again, I know we're talking about some of the spoilers of this movie in a way, but this movie, nothing is really happening in it until the very end. And even then, it's like, oh, we're still not there where we're supposed to be in a movie like this. This movie is crazy. It's wildly unpredictable. I could not tell you what was going to happen next other than like dialogue.
Madame Webb could tell you, though, because she could see the future, though.
And I think maybe that's the beauty of this film. It's a movie about telling the future, and us in the audience had no idea where the hell this movie was going. It's unintentionally funny. It has really odd character decisions and moments, and even just characters in general. There are actors that pop up in this movie that you're like, what are you doing in this? Like, you're too big of a person to be in a role like this, and vice versa. There's not much action in a movie like this either, which is also very, very surprising. A very thin plot that is dangling by a thread. But man, I had a blast watching it with you guys. I think we were just laughing. We were just having a great time. So this is going to be a very interesting review because as a movie as a whole, I'm going to be honest with you. It's not a really well-made movie. There's not a lot of good writing in this or good direction in this movie, but there's a lot of fun to be had still. And I think that's kind of the beauty of this movie. So I'm really curious to get your guys' take on this because it's such a experience, this movie. Like I half the time we were all just looking at the theater like, wow, I can't believe this is the next moment of this film. I'm shocked.
So let's there's a lot to unpack on your first reaction. And I want to start off with the cast because obviously we said we have Dakota Johnson here leading, you know, building the web for us all. The web that connects them all is Dakota Johnson as Cassandra Webb. Solid name, solid character name. It's always so. Remember when like Mark Webb was made the director of the Spider-Man films? We're like, oh, look, it's so perfect. It's so on the nose. And it's like, here's Cassandra Webb as this character name. But again, I know it's from the comics. It's just so funny that that's her name. You have Sydney Sweeney in this, who's coming off the massive success, another Sony project, Anyone But You. You have Celeste O'Connor, Tahar Rahim, who was great in The Mauritanian. And then I think the big names that really stood out for us, we have like Mike Epps, Emma Roberts, and Adam Scott, who are all playing characters in this that are, especially Adam Scott and Emma Roberts, who are a little bit more known to the canon of Spider-Man. And are tied directly to Peter and a lot of the characters that we know outside of this, but this film does such an interesting job of just tiptoeing and like spider dancing around actually like name dropping people. I mean, it does name drops for sure.
It doesn't commit though. It doesn't commit to the Spider-Man
like,
universe.
You're like, it's enough of a nod where it's like, yeah, but if we don't want to connect it to Spider-Man, it's an easy out. So it's really interesting to see that. But yeah, you have a really, you know, you have a really great cast in this. And I think when going into Madame Web, when we first heard about this film, we're like, okay, you know, Sony's starting to do their own thing. You know, they have this huge web of characters in the Spider-Man you know, lore that they want to bring. I know back when the Sony leaks happened in 2014, you know, we are hearing words of like, maybe we're going to get an Aunt May movie, or maybe we're going to get you know, a spinoff of this character or this character. And now we're getting these films, and now we're four films deep into this SSU. Venom and Venom 2 are obviously directly linked. Morbius feels like it's its own universe, and that movie ends with it being tied and being weird into Michael Keaton's Spider-Man, and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is referenced, but it's on a, it's a picture on the wall from the PlayStation game render. So it's like we're having these really weird ties to this grander Spider-Verse. And then there's the Spider-Verse films, which are two perfect films. And then we have Madam Web, which is very interesting. It's a very fun movie to watch, but I'll get into my thoughts in just a little bit. Anthony, jump on into the web. It's nice and warm.
I want to get out of the web. Get me out of the web.
Get out of the web.
This is not the web I asked for. It's funny because when you think of Madam Web and the marketing leading up to it, you know, the whole line of, you know, he was in the Amazon with my mom when she was researching spiders, and right before she died, you know, that line, that meme that grew and people were fascinated with that line. You have no idea the amount of lines you're going to fucking be fascinated about when it comes to this movie, because
that is nothing. Not even in the movie.
That line isn't even in the movie.
And that, yes, that line is not in the movie. That is
nothing compared to all the line readings in this film.
Yeah, this movie is, I have never seen Anthony laugh so hard. At one point I turned around, I'm like, dude, you're crying. He was crying with laughter.
Within 5 minutes, you clearly see that there is an huge issue with the script. Like, I think it's one of the funniest scripts that is not supposed to be funny that I've seen on screen. Like, it's very, very shocking to think that, man, four people wrote this story, and this is what we got. It's this movie feels like a movie from a different time. Like, it almost feels like if there was never a comic book or superhero movie ever made before, and this was the first version, and we live in a time period where cheesy action is like the norm. Like, I feel like the audience right now is so savvy when it comes to watching films and what they want to see on screen and the dialogue. And you're watching Dakota Johnson say these lines, and it's deadpan. It's just dry. It's gray. And I'm like, man, she must have hated making this movie. She must have hated making this movie, because I could not imagine reading those lines and saying, I'm happy with what I'm saying right now. I'm joyous of what I'm about to do. There are scenes that are nonsense. There's just nonsensical scenes. There's a scene in the cab with all four girls and they're talking, and I'm like, why is this 5 minutes long? Why is this 6 minutes long? It is a weird movie. It is very weird. It is an experience. Shay, you're right. It's an experience because you feel like you're Madam Web for some sort of reason. Like, you feel like whatever you're watching right now, you must be tangled in some sort of, you know, extra dimension of what movies are made of. Like, it's so weird. And I just can't believe they made this movie. Like, this
so
is
so weird.
An editor was able to edit this, and the director was happy with
it. It went through a list of people.
No disrespect, but you, as an audience member watching this, I could not be serious with this film. I just couldn't. Even though there were moments where there is seriousness happening, I just couldn't be serious with it. Because it just felt so cheesy and felt so disconnected. And the chemistry between all four girls were just not there. And the idea of whatever the story was and whatever the story was supposed to be, I think they really should have just focused on her as Dakota Johnson, as Madam Web, and gaining her powers and being this person that we've seen in the comic books and being the psychic of the spider world. I think they should have just focused on her rather than creating this convoluted story with all these other people and all these villains and not a lot of action until the end, when you're on this warehouse of fireworks and you end this movie and you're just kind of like, I don't know what you want me to do with this, because it feels like they wanted to create, there was a sequel that they have in mind, but it doesn't feel like there is a sequel as well. Like there's something missing. But overall, I think it's an experience that I haven't had in the theater for a very long time. And I was so happy to experience it with you guys.
I think this film, I think Madame Web is a direct response to the Spider-Verse films, because in a lot of ways, Madame Web is one of our, you know, it's another live action take on a multiversal story when you think about it, because she could see into other realities. She could see the futures, what could happen, what could not happen, you know, and her web connects them all. But it's funny because you, like Anthony, you mentioned the four girls, you know, we have the three spider women, girls, characters, and then we have like Madame Web herself. And what blows me away about their chemistry is that, yeah, they don't really have chemistry, or they're not really given any real dialogue to get it, because every scene that they're in, it almost like it's the same scene over and over and over again. And I don't mean like that as a it's like, oh, it's intentional because you can see the future, she's trying to undo it. No, it's like the same, you know, basic characteristics of their character, of like, there's the smart one, there's the tough one, there's more of the edgy one. It's like,
exactly,
every scene reminds you that there are these characters. And it's like, Sydney Sweeney's the submissive one, and the other ones are the tough one, and then there's smart one. And it's like, every scene, it's going to repeat. I'm like, let's make sure we get a joke in there that we remember that, you know, she's the outgoing one, she's the submissive one, and she's the smart, hard-headed one. And we just keep getting that over and over and over again in each scene. And then you have Dakota, Cassandra Webb, who is just flying away doing all these other crazy stuff in the film.
You know, I like that you touched upon the Spider-Verse element here, Daniel, because I think truly what could have made this movie absolutely fantastic and would have made so much sense as to why it existed is if you kind of did use Madame Web as a live action Spider-Verse. If you had a big story where, you know, a threat is incoming and she needs to look into, you know, Toby's world. She needs to look into Andrew's world and into Tom Holland's world. And like, you make this really massive film, but so much of this movie comes across as another studio made it that didn't have the rights to Spider-Man. Whereas this is Sony making this movie. They have all the rights to Spider-Man, but they kind of tiptoe around it, like you said, Daniel, they spider crawl around the Spider-Man universe. It's like they just had the rights to this character, Madame Web, and they can't really call anyone Spider-Man, or they can't say Peter Parker or Ben Parker or any Parker. It's just kind of like
Jonah.
Oh yeah, that's, yeah, Richard or J. Jonah Jameson. They'll just say, oh hey, this is Jonah. And it's like, but who's Jonah and what's going on here? It just feels so much more fan film made. Like, you had that Spider-Man Lotus movie come out on YouTube last year. Like, this feels like this is that next attempt at it, and it really boggled my mind. And one of the things that you said, Daniel, as we left the theater was, you know, it feels like an animated episode that we kind of got on TV on Fox Kids, 22 minutes long, but they've now stretched it out to nearly 2 hours of just the same thing repeating over and over and over again. And I'm like, why do we have these three girls in this movie? Like, they do absolutely nothing for the story. They don't push anything forward.
And this is the thing, right? If we had Madame Web looking into other Spider-Verses and you're like, okay, I need to collect Sydney Sweeney, I need to collect Isabella, I need to collect Celeste, their characters, and then help them fight whatever bad guy she's fighting because they're connected somehow.
Much better already.
No, it's like they're all in the same universe and they're being hunted by Tahar Rahim's character, Ezekiel, very biblical name.
Yeah.
Because he has spider-like abilities that he got, and he's always barefoot in the movie. And again, at least that's accurate to the comic books from what we were looking up. But you don't really have much of a motive for him other than, I need to kill these girls because eventually they're going to kill me one day, or I'm going to die at their hands one day. And that's the dream that he keeps having. And I need to go out and hunt these girls down and kill them so I don't die one day. And you're like, okay.
That is the main motive.
It's the villain.
The motive.
He keeps having this dream that these three girls are going to kill him. And That is that.
But we see it once.
You see like, the dream once. Yeah.
I have this dream every day of my life, and I'm like, okay, dude, you need to go see a therapist. but really, like, that can't be the motive for this movie. There needs to be more to a villain. Like, you guys are filmmakers. Make him smarter. Make like, what?
Well, give it some depth. And then, give it just
and then they use 2003 technology to find these three girls. Think of it as like the Dark Knight.
Yeah, but like the scene of the Dark Knight. And listen, the Dark Knight was less advanced, and it took place 5 years after this. This is like, think of legit. Think of the God's Eye from the Fast and the Furious films. It's legit that you put the name of somebody you're looking for. Not even the name of who you're looking for, his thoughts of them. In 2003, the NSA has the technology to take out the images of this man's brain to look for these characters. And they're like, there's a scene. Again, this isn't a spoiler because this isn't the trailer. You see the three girls in their Spider-Man masks. And his tech person is like, this is what they look like in your dream. And then we de-age them. So this is what they look like now. And they look the exact same. Just without just the
like,
masks.
It's like this. It's like this. If you're on YouTube right now, it's like, and this is them without the mask.
I was just like, what just happened? What just happened? Like this grand technology is like, broop. And I was just like, wow, okay, this movie knows what it is, though, I think. So I think that's what it has going for it.
Actually, I don't know. Does it?
I don't know. We're going to get there. But there's a lot here. I do want to talk about Tahir Rahim as a villain. He gives a phenomenal performance in The Mauritanian. Go watch that film if you haven't. It's a heavy watch, but it's a damn good movie.
He was great in Napoleon, too. Great in everything.
Yeah, he just all, you know, the bulk of what his role is in this film is be angry, find the girls, get outsmarted by them, and then try and find the girls again. And I think I don't know the nature of how this film is made in the sense of script changes, things being moved around. It feels like there was a lot of reshoots or a lot of just random stuff thrown in to change it up. But the amount of ADR. Where ADR meaning additional dialogue recording, where he has to re-record lines where they don't even mask it at some points, where it's like usually you'll hear it where it's like their face is turned away so you don't see their lips. It is on him and he's clearly saying something else than what he's saying in the scene, and he says it in such like a I will find them and I will get them. It's like the line delivery, it almost reminds me a little bit like of a dub of like a different language, where you're just like, oh, like the dubbing in this is, feels a little off. It doesn't feel
it's like a Bollywood
right?
movie.
So you're just like, oh, that's a little strange. And it really is I think it's a disservice to the actors, because you do have Madame Web has a great cast. And I told you guys, I like the premise of the film. I like the, okay, you know what? Madame Web is a character that I don't think anyone was really asking for as a film. But like, okay, like where we've been now with Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse and with No Way Home, a character like Madame Web, we could try to find a way to make work. But I don't think Dakota Johnson really was either the person to bring that forward or even just the script to really help her with that, right? And I think at the end of the day, the biggest problems that this movie face are the scripts and the actual technical film itself. And I mean that just like, it feels a little disorienting watching, because you'll have a lot of shots where it's just like here, and then it'll just zoom in. And that's like almost every shot. So you'll notice it a lot, especially in the beginning scene in Peru, where you're seeing these characters talk and like, it's constantly like zooming in on them. And it's like, you're trying to kind of figure out what's happening and the camera's making these erratic movements. So me as a viewer, like you're trying to settle into a movie, you know, you guys, you're trying to get your footing in a film, trying to get the vibe of it. I never really got the rhythm of this movie because I'm constantly at odds with technically what it's doing. And then obviously the outlandish and unintentionally funny story and dialogue deliveries and so
it
much
was,
more.
It was like The Office, right? Like mockumentary style, the way the camera was moving in. And I was like, wait, what's the stylistic choice here? But also, what is the narrative choice here? Why are they zooming in like this? Like, is this meant to be a documentary now? Because they're in Peru, but who's filming it? And what is going on? And I think the other thing that you're also kind of brought up, Daniel, about Ezekiel is, why did he have a suit? Why did he have
a Spider-Man suit?
We have Spider-Man at home kind of suit. Like, it didn't make it would also didn't look like a good suit. It wasn't a good suit. And it just didn't make any sense because he wasn't always in his suit. He would be in a suit, then wouldn't be in a suit, then would be in a suit. And it just was
an inconsistency. What's the point of being in a suit if you're wearing it? Are you a villain? Are you a bad guy? We don't know. Are you an established, you know, thing? And again, a lot of these films rely on news stories and things like that to tell you, you know, it sets it up a little bit at the beginning where it's like no one else could see him, but that's never talked about again in this movie.
But
like,
why?
Why can't no one else see him? Only, you know, the four spider people could see him. And then they're not even spider people yet, right? They're just normal civilians. Just
civilians.
So it's like, why can they see him, but no one else can? It's really weird. It's never, you know, brought up or established again. There's no explanation.
No logical explanation to these characters from you know, Cassie to Anya to Julia to Maddie, Ezekiel. None of those characters have an explanation to why they're in this movie, other than he has this dream and he needs to take care of these girls because they're gonna kill him. They don't even have spider powers. They just, in the future they will. But why would you make a movie about people that don't have spider powers who will have them in the future in a movie and in a maybe a future movie where they might have it? We're here now. We're watching the movie now. Give us something.
We're being sold that film, right? We're being sold that film of like, look at these new characters who are being introduced. You know, we're coming off of one of the best years in Spider-Man history, where we get Across the Spider-Verse, we get Spider-Man 2 on PS5. You look back at 2018, where you had Spider-Man coming out on PS4, you had Into the Spider-Verse, you had Infinity War. Like, we're coming off some banger years of Spider-Man and Miles Morales, and I feel like we're getting these other side stories where it's like, you know, Venom. And you could love Venom. I think there's a lot of things that I really like in Venom. Morbius is another film that we went into. We're like, oh God, let's see what happens. And the three of us left Morbius. Yes, Morbius is not a great film by any means. But we left. We're like, well, that was pretty coherent. That actually told a story. That movie was...
It tried to make sense.
Easy
it tried
to make sense through,
until the ending.
You know? Until the ending. And then we have Madam Web that feels so disjointed, so disconnected from itself. And it has these leaps in logic that really left us scratching our heads as to one was that, did they just do one take for every line reading? You know, Dakota really just with every line, you know, there was a line that there's multiple lines that had me laughing, but there was one that where she just said, I hope the spiders were worth it, Mom. And it just like delivered so deadpan
out of the blue.
And you're just like, oh, okay. But again, like, and it's blue. So interesting though, because again, there is other, like, aside from like having a fun time with this movie for the wrong reasons, there is a some sort of idea that I'm hoping when they were making this film, they obviously had the intentions to make a good film. I hope, but it really is non-coherent, and it just blows me away that this film is set in 2003. It feels like Anthony said, like it released in another universe where they didn't have superhero movies, because it has the sensibilities of a 2000 superhero movie in all the worst ways of the things where you're like, okay, you're having people back, especially in the early days of superhero films, you had people who weren't superhero fans adapting them and changing them and doing their stuff. And obviously you look at, you know, the X-Men films and, you know, comic books being banned on that set. And Kevin Feige had to sneak comic books to the actors so they could kind of get an idea who these people were, right? You have like a lot of these random movies that were made in that time from the Fox era of, I mean, Sony was killing it in that era with the Raimi films, but there's so much sensibilities in this film that really feel out of time. And then that's not to the weird issues with like, oh, like there's somebody having a PSP on the bus, But I'm like, in 2003, the PSP wasn't out yet, or Toxic by Britney Spears wasn't out yet. So it's like, you have like these weird things, and I get like, this is another universe, and those universes, those things could have been out already. But if you're going to have such iconic things in your movie, it feels to have them in an appropriate time.
I think that's one of the things that also really bothered me about this film, was that they were so fixated on making certain elements like bulletproof in terms of logic. But then the next scene immediately, it didn't make any sense. Like, there's a moment where, you know, Dakota Johnson steals a taxi cab to, you know, escape Ezekiel.
And the police.
All, and there's a scene of her pulling over and ripping off the license plates, but this taxi cab is damaged to shit. It clearly like is a stolen cab because it still has the cab number and everything on it. But then throughout the whole film, she's using the same cab, and she goes away for a bit and comes back. And I'm like, why are we still stuck in this vehicle? Like, can we not move past this? Because it just feels like a weird thing to fixate on that they did, and like they really drove some parts home. It blew my mind as to how we were trying to get from point A to point B in this film, and how they would just insert random moments. Like, she just goes to Peru in the middle of the film for like a day and then comes back, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. This movie just feels like it was thrown together, and they're just kind of hoping like maybe people won't question it.
There's also the scene in the diner, which I found super cringy to watch, with Sydney Sweeney and Isabella and Celeste, where they see these guys at a diner table, we'll say jocks, and Sydney's kind of like eyeing one from the corner, and then all of a sudden, and I don't know how it happens, but they start to migrate over. I think Celeste pulls her over to the table, and they start to dance on the table to Toxic with these guys around, like
Coyote Ugly,
and it just felt,
and they're teenagers too.
I'm like, what? And this is directed by a female. Like, this is S.G. Clarkson's a woman. You thought this was a right scene to put in this movie at this part of the movie where we're trying to get the story? You think a 5-minute, 6-minute sequence of this is what this movie needed?
Of high school.
And I didn't understand what the point of it is. It, other than, why don't you just leave them eating and then the guy comes in and attacks them? Why did you have to make it like this weird sexual? And maybe, and people will say, well, that's you making it sexual. I'm like, nah, man, this is fucking, that shit is what it's supposed to be. And I know it's supposed to, because that's
the, yeah, way it's planted in the film, yeah. Right? I mean, they're playing Britney Spears Toxic and they're dancing on the tables. I mean, if they're dancing in their seats, it's different, but they stood up on the tables.
And the guys are like, there's seven guys, right? And it's just,
yeah,
no one's doing anything in the diner, right? It's like this weird world that they live in.
And it's so funny.
And the guys seemed younger. Yeah. Like, they seemed younger than Sydney Sweeney. Like, Sydney Sweeney looks like an adult.
Yeah, and that was my next thing. It's so funny because, like, she's such an adult now to us, especially, like, anyone but you. Like, she's an adult in that. And, like, and it's weird to see her as a teenager in this again. And then she's all sheepish and shy. But as soon as, like, her friend was just like, no, come up on the table, she's like, yeah, okay, cool. And she starts dancing on the table. It's like, okay, and that's the thing, it doesn't stick to these characters. I think the one who's most consistent throughout is Dakota and her performance, and I think she's just kind of running on autopilot a lot of it. Dude, too,
the most consistent character is the cab, because that cab from beginning to end stands its ground. Wherever that cab went,
no matter what,
she was filling that thing up,
that cab, no matter what it was sitting,
she was doing rides. Yeah. It was crazy taxi.
It was crazy taxi. Like, she just went through a car wash. The car got fixed, like GTA, and then you left.
It's such a memeable movie, and I don't think that's what the point of the film should be. It's very memeable. Like, every moment we're like, well, that's going to be on the internet. Well, that's going to be on the internet.
One thing that I really enjoyed was Ben Parker.
I did too, dude. I'm so glad you brought that up.
In this movie, I'm like,
love Adam.
Do I want
Scott.
Love Adam Scott. Parker? Do I want like an Uncle Ben movie? That I kept thinking of that, because Adam Scott was also the one of the most stable characters in this movie, and his presence felt like Uncle Ben, and like you see a little bit of the mannerisms of being this wise person who's giving advice and who's really this hero, and I'm like, man, I'm wondering, should there be an Uncle Ben film where we get to history of Uncle Ben?
I like where your head's at, but no, we don't need it.
But Anthony, I'm so with you, because again, that goes back to, there are so many things in this film that could have been better. But you look at Ben Parker, you look at Adam Scott in this film, and you're like, wow, like there's something that is just so likable about this person. And I didn't grow up watching Parks and Recs or anything like that. So my biggest exposure to Adam Scott is whenever he would play a prick in a movie, like Step Brothers or anything like that. But he's so likable in this role, and I really like his dynamic with Dakota Johnson. It's a shame they don't get too much to do together in the film, but when they're out doing their things, like in the ambulance, they're paramedics, like that's a really cool story. Like I was actually enjoying that a lot, and they work so well together. It just, you know, the film shifts gears a lot, and when you're introducing the larger story of like what her mom does, and you know, the line from the trailer, like we said, that's not even in the movie. You know, she was in the Amazon, or she was in the rainforest in Peru when studying spiders type thing. It just feels so clunky, and it feels like, okay, we're trying to tie in comic lore. We're trying to tie in some type of plot, but all we're getting is exposition and info dumps and leaps in logic that really don't make any sense.
Even Emma Roberts is so good in this movie. Like whenever she came up on the screen with Adam Scott, I was like, oh man, like this is the story that I'm much more interested in, because she's pregnant with a baby in 2003, which could only mean she's going to have Peter Parker. But again, they don't really say it is Peter, but it's just this whole thing of like, man, this is such a much more interesting story. We're getting Adam Scott. We're getting Emma Roberts. They have great chemistry. They're really like driving a fun performance. And then we have this other story of Madame Web happening that I'm like, I don't think I really care about this right now.
Yeah. And it's like we need a little bit more of commitment on either side of it, right? To tell a more stronger and coherent story.
And sorry, we also have four characters that have no superpowers, really, facing off against one guy who has superpowers, and like I still don't understand how they kept coming up on top. Like it just didn't make any sense. I'm like, how does he keep losing? What is the strength that they have that they can see a few minutes ahead? It does that thing
that a lot of movies and shows do when somebody could see the future, or somebody has a power that they can't control. God damn it. When the plot needs them to be able to control it, though, they'll figure that shit out. There's a scene. I just can't. That's too much of a spoiler. We'll talk about it on a future episode, though. But it just deals with... I'm not going to even say it. I'll tell you guys after.
Don't say it.
But there's these moments where it's like, these little triggers will make Cassandra... you know, have these flash forwards, and it's actually kind of a cool effect. It's very disorienting because you're also trying to figure out what the hell's happening. But I kind of liked how they would show the flash forwards. It would kind of cut back and feel, it almost felt like, oh my God, like I feel like I'm going crazy right now watching it. And I think that's a smart way of showing of conveying like this person doesn't know what's happening. They don't know what's real. They don't know what's not. But because it just turns into just such like a, whenever the plot needs it to happen, it will. You don't really feel like she's getting the hang of her powers at all. It just feels like whenever the plot needs her to have control, she will have control.
I agree with that, because I was so confused when her power would kick in. I would be like, is it because she's in danger or there's impending danger that it kicks in? Or is she able to do it on her own? There's nothing visually on the screen that really indicates her power kicking in. It's just like it would cut to her experiencing something that's happening on the subway or on the train, and then it would cut back to her with her jacket on before that scene happens. It just felt weird. I felt like there might have been a visual effect, something to indicate, okay, I'm going through this,
or sound or something that
predetermination before it actually happens. And I think we've seen it before where you know, people with psychic abilities can see the future before it happens, and it's done really well. With this, it's almost a a cut. Like, it's, you cut here, you cut there, and cut back. And now she has a, in this case, she'll have the jacket on because before she took it off, and she's like, oh, I just went into the future. It's strange. It's, I'm not a fan.
No, we also, like, we go a long period of time also without her ever using that power. Like, you kind of forget that it happens because it'll be like 20 minutes and she hasn't had like a flash forward or anything like
that's
that.
That's her power. Oh, she can look into the future.
Yeah. Like, this could have been a really cool, like, Final Destination Marvel movie, but it never really, you know, goes into that. And I just, there's a lot that this movie could have done really well. And I think we had fun with it, but I think we had the different kind of fun that they didn't want us to have, maybe.
Let's get into our final recommendations for Madam Web. And Shabazz, I'm going to get you to start us off.
I think truly this is a skip it. I think this is a really fun movie. Like, you can just kind of have fun with while laughing at some of the insanity that this film creates. So maybe it's kind of on that borderline of you can add it to your queue, watch it at home kind of a deal. But as a movie as a whole, it's not really well made. And I think it bums me out that it has a lot of talent in it and it has a lot that could go really well for it. But because the movie as a whole just doesn't stick any of its landing or really tell you a story that is important or giving you anything for the future, you're kind of just taking 2 hours of time that, you know, you maybe could have learned a new skill or something. So for that reason, I'd say skip it.
Shabazz, I am right there with you. This is a skip it for me. I didn't have too high intentions going into it, but what this film did surprise me with was how unintentionally funny it was. And I know that's not the point of this film, but I had such a friggin' blast watching with you guys because it's a really funny movie. It generally is a really funny movie just from the line deliveries, from the absurdity alone. Like, you're like, sure. And it almost reminded me a little bit when I'm watching Fast and the Furious, because I was watching this and I was just like, wow, this is absolutely absurd, but I'm glued to the screen to see what happens next. And same thing for you, Shay. I mean, for that reason too, if you are morbidly curious, not morbiously curious, if you are curious, check it out, catch it when it comes to streaming. It is a wild, wild time. I promise you, you will not be able to predict what happens next.
No.
You know, you won't be able to predict what happens next. And I think that's this movie's biggest strength. I think there's some really cool ideas with Ben Parker and just the premise alone, but premise alone isn't what this film is. And unfortunately for that, it's a skip it for me. Anthony, take us on home.
3 for 3. It's going to be a skip it for me as well. I think if I can use my Madam Web skills, I think this movie might get a cult following. Just because of the...
I think so, too.
The type of movie it is and how...
The campiness, right?
The campiness and how bad, but, like, also funny, but the actors don't know it. This is not...
Ironically
funny. But I feel like this is a movie where people will... much more than Morbius, because you remember Morbius, a whole initiative going... getting Sony to put Morbius back into...
It's Morbin
into
time.
Theaters. Yeah. I feel like this movie will have some sort of weird cult following because it's so weird and the story, and you're just shocked that these actors are saying these lines and they were okay with performing these sequences and not really questioning what this movie was about or questioning the director's vision. I feel like this is a film that we haven't experienced in a long time. I feel like this is something that we would have watched in the 90s where we would learn, you know, 20 years after the onset shenanigans and just the disruption of what this movie, how this movie was made. In another world, this movie could be good. And in our world, definitely not.
I love that.
That was the movie podcast review of Madam Web. Of course, it releases on Valentine's Day here in North America, February 14th. Go take your loved one. Thank you so much to our friends at Sony Pictures for inviting us to watch the film. Like I said, we will have our interview out later this week with the producer of this film. So make sure you tune in for that because we'll have a great conversation with him. Also, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Letterboxd, wherever you are, the movie podcast is there. Make sure you follow us. Check out our show notes below for links to our Discord, to our YouTube. If you want to see our lovely faces, I think this is a great review that you probably want to see on YouTube because why wouldn't you? Look at us. We're adorable. But also, Patreon is an incredible way if you want to support us on the movie podcast. If you want to help us keep the lights and the mics on, all it takes is a couple bucks a month. We have some different tiers there for you. So again, check out our show notes for all of those links and more. That was this time with the movie podcast, and we'll see you next time.